Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
That was weird. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, how'd you like hosting?
What's going on, guys? I mean, it's a fun experience, I guess. I much more enjoy it when you do it. But we can. It's not a bad thing to do from time to time. And yeah, wrestling show is apparently my hosting. Question, yeah. Is yeah. Every like early release is going to be my or just the wrestling episodes? So if we do, I don't know, like a movie. Okay. Got it.
Unless you want to do the movies. But
okay,
I think the movies is with everyone. And if everyone's involved, I'm assuming Ren would host.
Okay, then... got it. Okay, so what are we doing today, Angelo?
Unfortunately, we're doing Mock Draft 2.0. Alex wants to fix what he fucked up.
Why unfortunately, though? The people like it.
Because you have to fix what you fucked up. Get it right once. Jesus, dude.
No. I mean, things change. We had the whole combine since that. We have a whole bunch of new info coming out. Players who signed, players who got traded away. I mean, a whole lot changed from, what, a month ago?
I don't know about a whole lot, but a lot of stuff did change from a month ago, for sure.
Okay. And so we are doing Mock Draft 2.0, just as Angela said. And small twist
here. It's Alex's baby. The mocks
are his baby. Mock drafts. Love to do them. And this one has a little twist here. So
I mean,
instead
you had a month
of,
to prepare it.
Yeah, I did. I had a few tries at it. One I didn't save, a few I saved, but became reluctant after a few, like, I don't know, weeks or days or something like that, because trades happen and all that. So, yeah, now we're doing one in a very slightly different way. Instead of me just doing it and then coming here and blabbing it out, we're doing it live. So this way it's better to explain rationale and I can bounce back ideas off of Angelo as well. And you can tell me why I'm insane in doing some of these things live. So,
all right, sounds good. You're going to give me your logic for each pick and all these. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Some will be faster. Some will be a bit slower. For example, I guess we can start right away. There's not a whole bunch of news to talk about. At least from what I've seen. So is there any news in particular that you want to talk about before we go?
No, not in particular.
Yeah, it's been a very weak news week.
I think once we get to the draft, because we're fastly approaching the draft, what is it, another like week or two, if I'm not mistaken? Maybe 3 weeks.
I think it's 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so once we get there, it'll be... So,
I think, all right then.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's show your own.
Let's get it on. So, with the first overall pick, I mean, I said some picks will be quick, some will be a bit more explained, and this one is going to be fairly quick. It's still Caleb Williams at 101. Caleb actually had a nice tweet that I saw about, I think it was yesterday.
Caleb where apparently he has a lot of nice tweets.
Yeah, I think it was like some guys in a random show were saying that one of their critique in regards to Caleb Williams was that he never faced adversity. So Caleb basically like quote tweeted that and said something along the lines of, okay, so let's go back to school. And then he defined adversity, which is a state of instance of serious and continued difficulty or misfortune. And then he was like, so year one, I didn't start freshman year. Year two, I popped Miami in a championship game first quarter, lost because of that Emmy. Year three, 7-5, my last year of college ball. So no adversity whatsoever. And I thought it was kind of like, he is very chirpy, it seems, with the media and all of that. So I don't think it's a bad thing overall, but it's just like people are trying to poke him as a prospect and all of that. And he's still like 101. There's not really much to say here. Outside of that, it's been discussed ad nauseum. So we move. Pick 102. This starts the draft, I guess. Because once again, we've been seeing a lot of back and forth in what's this pick's going to be. And it comes down to Drake May or Jaden Daniels. There's a lot of smoke in regards to Daniels. And the last thing that I said in regards to May and Daniels was that usually around this time when odds move from a player to another, because, I don't know, money's coming in or teams are showing that they might be more interested in another player, you usually see that same trend in mock drafts, and I wasn't really seeing it. But now it's starting to pop up a bit more, of Jaden Daniels being the second QB taken. So I am reluctantly doing Jaden Daniels at the 102. This is not necessarily what I would do, but it's what I think will happen in this draft. So it's not
I agree with this pick because I think that from a coaching staff personnel look, Jaden Daniels fits the scheme that you believe the Washington Commanders are going to run better than Drake May.
Yeah.
And not I mean, only that, you kind of had a similar situation with the, I'm drawing parallels to it, but the 2021 draft where the 49ers could have selected Trey Lance or Mac Jones. And granted, I think Drake May is a better prospect than Mac Jones, but they went with the more agile, more raw prospect. I think that I just think that the way the NFL is going, having a mobile quarterback is definitely a plus. It doesn't just generate you fantasy points. It's also a lot harder to game plan against. There's a reason Lamar is a two-time quote-unquote unanimous MVP. And I think that ceiling, I think it's much easier to hit that ceiling than it is to hit Patrick Mahomes' ceiling as far as, and even then Patrick Mahomes is, I wouldn't classify him as a run first quarterback, but he's still very mobile. He's very agile in the pocket and he's still very good at escaping pressure. So you need some kind of that ability now.
Yeah, and just for context, I like the quote-unquote unanimous MVP.
He's not my unanimous MVP.
Yeah, he's not my MVP. And just for some added context, I believe last time we did this, Drake May was around minus 200 for being the second QB taken off the draft. As we are recording this on April 10th of 2024, Jaden Daniels is minus 182. Drake May is plus 130. So, I mean, there's a shift here. There's a shift in the mock draft. So, just feels right, this one. So, Jaden Daniels gets taken by the Washington Commanders. Again, not my QB2, but... And now this really becomes interesting. So, now the Patriots are on the clock. And, I mean, I think there's some smoke here. And there was a quote from the new Patriots head coach, Mayo, in regards to, like, the QB. And it was along the lines of, this team just doesn't need just one QB. It needs a whole lot of things. And it's it was something along the lines of, you can have the QB, but the rest sort of needs to be there. So I think it's kind of telling you a bit that maybe the pick isn't going to be made by the Patriots. Maybe they are thinking about moving out. And if they are thinking about moving down or out, at this point, I think the main contender is likely the Minnesota Vikings. After the Minnesota Vikings, I would say that it's probably the Raiders or the Broncos. And then to complete that top four, I would say that the Giants could really be in that mix to make the move up. And it comes down to what you can get with this move down. And there were plenty of reports that they would want at least three first-round picks. Three first-round picks is kind of hard, but I guess the value of three first-round picks could work. So, yeah, I'm doing a trade here. What do you think about doing a trade down here?
I think it's more likely a trade down happens if Drake May is the 103 than Jaden Daniels. I guess that's a double-edged sword. It's not a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, if it's Jaden Daniels, I seriously doubt that. Because it's not like the staff got completely redone from the Patriots. Gerard Mayo was on Bill Belichick's staff. So I expect to see a lot of the similar kind of offensive play style and philosophy, just not the same way Bill conducted himself. So Jaden Daniels is not a Patriots type quarterback. So if it's Jaden Daniels, I think the Patriots would definitely want to move down. But I also think that Jaden Daniels isn't necessarily what Minnesota wants either, because we've seen Minnesota under Kirk Cousins. They want less mobile, more stationary, more yes. Big. They'd rather have a big arm quarterback than have a mobile one. Like I do think there is some stock in making the quarterbacks fit the schemes around them. So I think that Drake May is a great, not only New England quarterback, a great Minnesota quarterback. Now, just out of curiosity, playing devil's advocates, let's say it's Jaden Daniels there at 103. Who do you think would be a good trade partner for Jaden Daniels, for someone to trade up into New England spot?
I think for Daniels, the case is a bit better for New York.
The Giants? Yeah, that's a great case. That's a great case, yes.
I think you have something there that it's similar to what you ran with Daniel Jones. Yeah, and it's just a bit better because the long ball of Daniels is probably better than of Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. So I think team fit is definitely there. So I think they would be a bit more aggressive if Daniels was available at 3. If he's not available at 3, I think it sort of puts them in the fourth place in that top four that I gave you of teams that I think could move up. And I think it leaves Minnesota a bit better placed. I think the order would probably be Minnesota, Denver, and then the Raiders if May's on the board. While with Daniels, it would be probably something along the lines of Raiders, Giants, Vikings, Broncos. I think it would be something along those lines. But with May available, though, let's say it's the Vikings. The Vikings want to move up. The Vikings traded for Houston's first-round pick as well. So let's get the Vikings here. So just for context, when I do these trades, they are not like out of thin air in terms of value. I usually follow some trade charts that I've been following around. And like, for example, in this case, they are giving me the New England Patriot pick at around 2,200 value, points of value. So I'm going to need at least a bit more than that to make this trade worthwhile. Like if it's a trade later in this round, maybe it doesn't need to be over the value, but I mean, you're trading for the third overall pick, so you always need to sweeten the pot quite a bit. So yep. the Patriots here. So let me grab, I'm doing this on the PFF mock draft simulator. So let me get the Minnesota Vikings in here. So the Minnesota Vikings, they have pick 11 and pick 23. So that's 1.2K in points of value for the 11th pick. For Houston's pick, we're talking about right around, where is it? Minnesota, 760. So both combined, you're looking at right around 2K points of value. So let's select those two. After that, we need about 200, a bit more. So something along the lines of 200 to 500 points of value. I think we are probably looking at throwing in next year's first. So that's three firsts. Two this year, one next year. And with that, you're probably looking at a bit more than what I just said. So let's throw something back from the Patriots. The Patriots have a few more picks this year. I think throwing right around pick 137 probably works, which is a fifth round pick. So it's three first round picks for pick number three and 137. Do you think that's insane? Do you think that's at least okay?
Yeah, I think that's about, because I'm trying to think back of what did the 49ers trade to get Trey Lance.
Okay. So 49ers trade for Trey Lance was...
Because I'd argue the Vikings are similar as far as their history for success recently.
Okay. So they are throwing in the 12th... They threw in the 12th overall pick in 2021. So this was a 2021 trade. They threw in the 12th. They threw in the pick... first round in 2022. First round in 2023. And a third round in 2022. So it's the first in three consecutive years and a third in the second of those years. So now here you're getting two firsts in 1 year and you're getting another first next year. So basically it accelerates the first 1 year.
I think it might be a little low. Well, but then again, it's the 103 versus the 102. I think it's about right. It's either just a little bit too low or about right. It's on the line.
Okay. So we'll push this one through. And now Minnesota is on the clock. And this trade is for Drake May. I'm pretty certain of this. So they got Drake May. It could be like a wild ball and they just trade all of this for J.J. McCarthy. Like out of nowhere. Which would be shocking, but craziest
things.
I don't know.
What would you do if that was, if someone traded three first round picks to trade up for J.J. McCarthy?
I'll tell you this. People will need, if that happens in the NFL draft, people will definitely need to tune in for the show that we do in regards to that. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say. So small little tease there that you need to stay tuned there. So at pick 104, we have the Arizona Cardinals. Again, this leaves J.J. McCarthy as, like, the last one of those apparently cream-of-the-crop type of guys. And I want to say that the trade is here for Arizona. It could be that they just draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and be done with it. But I'm really... What do you think? Do you think it's crazy back-to-back trades?
Back-to-back trade? No, I don't think it's crazy. Especially considering that there's so many quarterbacks in this. Here's the thing, though. So J.J. McCarthy would have had to convince a team to trade huge assets to get him. I'm assuming that's the pick?
Yes. And I have one team that I think will do this.
It would have to be a team that is like... in the later teens or early 20s that don't think that JJ would fall there, that want to get him.
Could it be a team in the early teens, though?
The early teens?
Because you have the threat of the Giants there. And you have the threat at 9 that the Bears trade out of that pick as well.
True.
So I have a team that has a net coach currently on that squad that's going to be there for quite a while. They don't really have a QB. And this guy really likes those in-the-pocket type of QBs that just do what they're told. And I mean, if anything, JJ McCarthy has shown that he can really run a system that is a run first system and just throws when the coaching staff really asks him to. And that team is sitting at 12 with the Denver Broncos.
So let me get this straight, Alex. You think that the Denver Broncos, who just gave up like two firsts to acquire Russ and like $100 million or whatever it was, and then just cut him, like the money they guaranteed, just wasted. It's donated. They might as well have donated that money to charity. You think they're gonna do that and then be like, you know what? I think we should do it again, except without the money. And you think they're going to trade after just recovering from the Russ deal, they're going to trade even more assets and be like, yeah, this is fine. Not having draft picks, this is fine.
I mean, you have a coach that needs to win, and their QB right now is, if I'm not mistaken, it's Jared Stidham. What are you doing at QB? I mean, they have nothing else at this point in time.
Why do you hate the Broncos?
I don't hate the Broncos. I think this move is damning for sure for them. They are really messing this up. But I think it's a move that could happen. I mean, I'm looking at this and it's like it's a team that just saw a team jump them. Really making a move up because the Vikings were picking 11, the Broncos are picking 12. Very aggressive move to get their QB, and they are sitting there with Jared Stidham, just doing nothing. For Sean Payton sitting there just thinking about it. I mean,
what if they want to like low key tank for the? That's the thing. Like you're starting Jared Stidham. You're going to be in the race. Yes, it is. And you know what it doesn't cost, Alex? It doesn't cost future first to just start Jared Stidham and then be one of the top like three picks in next year's draft and draft a quarterback.
And then guess what, Alex?
And then guess what, Alex? That money that you gave Russ, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's there. It's available.
You know something, though? We say, like, you get the first overall pick, next year you're picking a QB. The sentiment around the league, at least what I've read, is that next year's class is really weak. So it could be something that plays up to that here, where they are just, like, God. They are convinced. Because there are teams, as far as I know, that really like J.J. McCarthy and think that he should be up there with those guys. It's not a clear-cut tier down. It's Alex, maybe he's even ahead of some of these guys.
Alex.
What?
Thinking J.J. McCarthy should be up there with those guys and actually executing a deal to make J.J. McCarthy up there with those guys have two completely different parameters to it.
Do you think Sean Payton gets fired? Either way.
If they make this move, yes!
No, I do not agree. I don't think he gets fired.
You don't think he gets fired if they make this move?
No. I think the ownership is behind it.
Oh my God, Alex.
So we're not doing the deal.
We're not doing the deal.
You're telling me
Bronco smart?
I mean, apparently that's what you want to do. I'm not so sure if they are smart, but you want to make them smart.
But if you're now, you know what? This is your mock. If you're saying the deal's going to happen, then go ahead. Let the Broncos completely ruin their organization again.
Okay, then. So we're giving the Arizona Cardinals a first-round pick. And now this is very similar territory to the 49ers trade. So it's three first-round picks in three different years. And then you're
trading, Alex, they're trading 3 first-round picks for J.J. McCarthy.
If you believe in the guy, it doesn't matter what we think. If the organization believes in that guy, then, I mean, it's picks well spent for them. Alex, like, I don't agree with any of that.
You really want to come on here the day after the draft or the week, whatever the next episode is after the draft, and just be like, well, I don't like it, but I was right.
Yeah, probably. I like to be right.
Oh my God, Alex.
So we're giving them 3 first-round picks and a 3rd in 2025.
The Cardinals?
Cardinals are getting pick 12, 2025's first, and 2026 first, alongside a 2025 third for pick number 4.
What the fuck? Okay, so the Cardinals are sitting pretty. Anyway, go on.
Okay, trade accepted. And on the clock, the Broncos go ahead and pick the future savior of their franchise, they hope. J.J. McCarthy. It's even hard to say. But okay. And the Chargers are now on the clock. Sitting pretty at number 5. Draft opens up. And now they can select between a tackle in Joe Holt, Marvin Harrison Jr. at wide receiver, Brock Bowers at tight end. A lot of things to choose from here, but we discussed this before, and I think it's just what's going to happen. They really want to be more conservative and run the ball and protect Herbert more. So I really think it's Joe Alt is the pick here.
Hey, call me crazy.
What?
If they do, not they. Too many adjectives there, pal. If the Broncos do what you say they're going to do, and the Chargers don't select Marvin Harrison Jr., like, do you want Quentin Johnston Wheels Up to be a thing? Like, is this what you're seeing? Like, you joke about it all the time because you secretly want it to happen. Is that what's going on here?
I definitely do not. That's what's going on.
Because you just said that the team that is currently starting Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston as their top two wide receivers is going to see the best wide receiver on the board and say, no, we're going to go tackle here. This is like the reverse of the Bengals draft, where I was like, it should be Sunil. And by the way, Penei Sewell, pretty good offensive lineman, won't you say?
Yes.
But regardless, like, why? So why have you betrayed everything you ever know? Like you were like, it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, college. And now Marvin Harrison is sitting there. Like, Just say you actually believe Malik Nabers is the better wide receiver, Alex.
No, it'll because, be easier that because way. This is not a what I would do draft. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have traded for J.J. McCarthy at 4. This is what I think happen sort of draft. And I think the Chargers have shown that they really want to commit more to running the football and protect Herbert. And also, it's a deeper class.
What the? They lost Eckler. Running with who?
Maybe Blake Corum. That's the guy that's coming in.
Oh, my
Maybe.
God.
I don't know. They are running the ball with someone. With Gus Edwards, of course. And just to finalize that, I also think like wide receiver is a much deeper it's a much deeper class than tackle. So again, it comes down to what I said before. We look at this thing and we think, okay, they need to go wide receiver because they need wide receiver. Well, yes, but they also need a whole bunch of other positions. And it's like, what's the difference between Marvin Harrison Jr. and, I don't know, some guy that you can draft in the second? Let me look at my notes to see some name that might be in the second round versus what you can do at O-line in the first or second round. you're looking at, I don't know, maybe it's between Marvin Harrison Jr., or they think that a guy like Troy Franklin is probably available in the second or third round, versus what you can probably get with a tackle that you're looking at Joe Alt, and then you have a very big decline in terms of talent, where you're going from a guy like him to a, I don't know, Blake Fisher or Brandon Coleman. Maybe they think the drop-off is much bigger from that than from wide receiver. So it's, again, it's not what I would do. I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. here in an instant. It's just what I think the teams are thinking about and what I think they are thinking about doing here.
Okay.
Go on. So with pick 5, Joe Alt is off the board. And this is every single fantasy dynasty owner's nightmare. Sitting at number 6, the New York Giants.
Don't say it.
Are on the clock. Unlike the Chargers, I think they are drafting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Alex?
Yes.
Would you just say that Malik Nabers is a better wide receiver than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No, he's not.
Really? Because your mocks of what the actual NFL teams are doing is really convincing me that Malik Nabers, you secretly think Malik Nabers is going to be a better wide receiver for dynasty football.
I just told you they are drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., so teams think he's a better player than Malik Nabers.
All right. Okay. So who's throwing Marvin Harrison Jr. the ball again?
Daniel Jones.
Oh, okay.
Great, huh?
How'd that work out for you with Darren Waller this year, buddy?
Great. I mean, Waller actually was kind of decent. He just was hurt quite a bit, so. Mm-hmm. And that leaves the Tennessee Titans on the clock.
I might actually select Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. if this happens. Go on.
You don't know where Nabers is going to fall yet, so.
Right here, buddy.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, they just spent a ton of money on Calvin Ridley. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. Isn't it a bit too much?
Considering what Brian Callahan just went through with the Bengals, no, it's not too much for him. He wants to make sure the wide receivers are right. But okay, who did you have here?
No, I was thinking about a few things. I was thinking between O-line. So they also need O-line quite a bit. The O-line is struggling there. I'm looking at Fuaga, I'm looking at Fashanu, those guys probably. J.C. Latham as well. Looking at those three guys, if we're going tackle. We can go defensive. We can go with edge or corner here. They need both. Their corner position isn't great. They also lost Kevin Byard, that's safety. So could be the slot where Quinion Mitchell goes. Or we can just go with the edge, because edge rushers are also missing with the Tennessee Titans. And we can go with Latu or Dallas Turner, for example. So those are what I was thinking about. But what you said in regards to Nabers makes sense, because Hopkins is kind of getting up there in age.
Right.
Ridley, yeah, Ridley also signed a big deal, but still. It could be like a Seattle Seahawks situation. If you look at the age of those guys, they are very similar to what the Seahawks have. Hopkins being very close in age to Lockett. DK Metcalf being close in age with Calvin Ridley. And they add in the young player in Malik Nabers. Sort of makes sense how you put it. So I think it's between Nabers or no line right now. And if we're doing O-line, it's probably Fashanu right now.
I agree. If it's O-line, I agree, yes. Plus, okay. I believe he fits the system. That said, I think he's going Nabbers here. That's just gut instinct, but
okay. Let's go. I like your idea. I like where you're heading.
Let's go.
Malik Nabbers is pick 7. Okay, so now this opens up something here at pick 8, because at pick 8 you're looking at the Falcons. And the Falcons have two needs in my book: edge and cornerback. And initially this is where I thought maybe I would throw in a little curveball, because most people seem to think it's Dallas Turner here. I think the Falcons could surprise some people and go with Quinion Mitchell at corner. But now this throws a wrench into things. Because now you're looking at a team, like, for example, the Cardinals. So the Cardinals have two first-round picks this year. And they have two more first-round picks in the upcoming years. And they are out of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabbers. And their biggest need is wide receiver. So with Romeo Odunze on the board, could this maybe be a move up for the Arizona Cardinals here?
To get Odunze?
Yeah.
After they traded down?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they just trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
So you would have to pay more, because they might have thought that maybe Nabbers could fall a bit more. And they maybe like all three guys pretty much the same. So now they don't want to lose out on the last guy on their top of the wide receiver board.
Okay. Let's go with it. Let's go.
All right, then. The Cardinals are moving up from pick 12 to pick 8. Let's look at what that might be. Trade in that department would be, they're missing right around 200 points. So 200 points, you're looking at a mid third round pick. So think something pretty quick would be the Cardinals giving up 12 and 66 for pick 8. Pretty straightforward. That's like a top end third instead of a mid level third. So the Falcons are still gaining something here. They're adding another pick to keep building up, and they can still target cornerback or edge rusher in those positions. So, plus, you also jump the Bears, who are usually looking at wide receiver with that pick for most mock drafts. So I think it makes sense. Like it?
Am I crazy to think that I'm not convinced the Bears are looking at wide receiver?
Like, I don't think so as well, but most mock drafts do seem to be inclined that they are looking at Odunze. So there might be some smoke there, but in all of my mock drafts, I don't think I ever gave them a wide receiver. I usually either trade down, because I really think we can also do that. We can do a move down from the Bears instead of the Falcons. Because it's something that I've been mocking a lot. It's the Bears moving down, or maybe we can just do both trades. So,
either way, work with your gut.
Okay, so Cardinals giving up 12 and 66, getting pick 8. That's offered, that's accepted. And they go up and they pick Romeo Odunze, wide receiver from Washington. And that leaves the Bears on the clock at pick 9, and their biggest need is probably on the defense, and it's probably on the interior defensive line. And picking that right here isn't great. So again, could this just be a trade down spot, or are we just doing way too much here for trades?
We might be doing too much for trades.
We might be. But it's we put them in a crazy position, because
get them crazy here.
Yeah. What are we doing here? This is maybe they just reinforce the offensive line. I think that probably makes sense. I think you look at a guy like either Fuaga or a guy like J.C. Latham, who both can play inside at right guard or play at right tackle, and just having the ability to do both and protect Caleb that way, I think it's likely where we're heading here. And between the two, I probably like Fuaga a bit more. So just going O-line here. Although I really like the trade down spot here, because this leaves the Bears with not much else to work with this draft. Outside of this ninth pick, they also have 75 and 122. So that's why I usually like the trade down for the Bears. You know something crazy? For a trade, if we were to do a trade, there's two teams here that I'm thinking about a trade. It's either the Indianapolis Colts, who could be looking at wide receiver, tight end, or defensive back, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are in the market for a guard center type of player, and are also in the market for a DB or edge. So they could pick the cream of the crop at those positions instead of just sitting around and waiting for their pick to come.
I agree with that. Because, well, I mean, at what point are the Jags just doing too much?
What? I didn't get it.
If you said the Jags could move up for a guard.
Guard, defensive back, or edge. I think it's likely one of the three. And none of the markets have been touched, so they can go for the cream of the crop there.
True. I think even the Jags too much credit.
I mean, other than the Jags, I think it's the Colts, the Saints, or the Eagles. I could see the Eagles are usually
aggressive. Here's a question that I'm sorry that I've been zoning out, because I've been thinking, when is the last time we have seen this many trades in the top 10 in an NFL draw?
Good question. So we have how many trades in the first round so far? We had one, two, three trades. Three trades. Most first round trades in the NFL. No clue, at least that I can see. Okay, so I have the tracker for 2023. They had six trades in the first round. Now, not inside of the top 10, but in the first round alone. And this would be our fourth.
I was about to say, you're kind of projecting this.
But, I mean, it's... Maybe we shouldn't have done the Atlanta one, and we should have just stayed quiet there and let Rome fall, whatever. But I know what is done is done, so.
Keep rolling with it, baby. Jacksonville up!
Jacksonville up. Okay. I'm thinking, guard. I love how you say that. Okay. So we are looking at moving up from 17 to pick 9. Difference is right around 400 points. So I think the Bears would like more picks to work with than actually like higher picks. So instead of going for the second rounds and all of that, I think the Jags have a compensatory 96th overall pick, which falls right around late in the third round. I think going with that plus pick 116 that they got from the New Orleans Saints and the compensation pick that they have from which is pick 212. So in terms of rounds, that's a late third round in outside of the 32 range. Then you have pick, 116? That's a fourth round pick as well. And then finally, you're doing the sixth round pick. So To move up 8 spots, you're giving up a 3rd, a 4th, and a 6th. Seems okay-ish, no?
Yeah, no, that does. That seems okay-ish.
Okay. That gives ammo for the Bears to work in this draft, so.
It does.
Okay, and they move up. And now it's between either Fautanu or JC Latham. Fautanu, no. Fautanu was the guy that I drafted already. No, Fautanu is available. Okay, so it's between those, or we go with Quinion Mitchell, I think. So what is crazier, trading for a guard or trading for a cornerback? The Jags have no cornerbacks of note.
Well, you know.
No, they really don't. It's very thin right now at corner.
Well, I'm sure Tony Khan will find some UFDA cornerbacks that he really likes.
The callback. If you know, you know, people. If you know, you know. Okay, so cornerback or guard? What are we doing here? Because I'm leaning cornerback.
Okay, let's roll with the cornerback.
Okay, so at pick 9, the Jags move up and draft a cornerback. And now we have to stop with the trades. Sitting. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's just around that time. Okay, so sitting at 10, the Jets have a few needs. Wide receiver, tackle, interior defensive line, maybe safety. Feels kind of a no-brainer to give them a tackle when only one is left.
They have to go offensive line here, that pick. In fact, quite honestly, has this been rumored at all? So if Joe Alt falls X far, the Jets could look to a trade up. Has that been talked about at all?
I haven't heard about that, but I think it's also because there's not really anything that's telling you that Joe Alt is getting moved down in draft boards. So maybe that's just that.
I'm just saying I could see them moving up to get a tackle they like.
Yeah. I think it's just like Joe Alt is for sure the best tackle, but then it's like the rankings of Fashanu, Latham, and Fuaga all in the first round are all relatively close and are also somewhat close to Joe Alt. So it's like the drop off just isn't really there for you to pay up.
Okay, that's fair.
So
I'm just kidding.
No more trades. I think with this pick, you're probably going with Fashanu right now. Yeah. It's either Fashanu or one of those tackle guard eligible, like Fautanu or Latham. Both guys are probably okay at playing guard as well. But I think you just take the better guy in Fashanu. Yeah, so no, Fashanu it is. Pick 10. That's in the books. Then you have the Patriots. Drafting now at 11. They have another pick coming up at 23. They need everything. But I guess you just go tackle again.
Do you?
I mean, I think it's either tackle or you go with the idea that Mayo is a defensive guy and wants to bolster the defense and add an edge rusher.
I think he'll bolster the if the top two tackles are already gone. I think he unless he wants to go interior line. I think he goes on the defensive side.
Okay, so let's say edge. My favorite edge is Laiatu Latu, but I mean there's the medical concerns and the hype seems to be on Dallas Turner, which I don't necessarily love. But, I mean, he's the one getting the hype. He's the one getting up there in most of the draft boards. So, I think, again, this is not what I would do. I think this is what teams are going to do. So with that said, I think it's likely Dallas Turner at the edge. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay, Turner it is. Turner. Pick 12 now. And you have the Falcons on the clock. Again, their need is defensive lineman and cornerback. Top corner is out. Cooper DeJean is still up there, and he's pretty highly rated. And so is Terry Nardell from Alabama. If you're looking at edge, we have Jared Verse and we have Laiatu Latu. I think it's one of those four guys coming in.
Who do you got?
I think I'm going Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
Right now. I think they surprise a few people because I've been reading mostly that they really need edge. They really need edge. But it's like I'm looking at the team and I really think that their main need is going to be cornerback. And it's like Raheem Morris. Is it Raheem Morris? Did I just blunder his name? The head coach? No, I did not blunder his name. Great. I think Raheem Morris, they've made the connection that he wants to work with an edge rusher. But I mean, I think that the Rams, like the secondary being as tough as it was for a few years, really made the front seven be a bit better. So I think they start building this puppy from the backup. And it goes with Cooper DeJean. They invested a lot on the front seven last season. So I think just going with DeJean here really makes a lot of sense. It's between DeJean and Terry and Arnold. But after the Jeans Pro Day, I think we're just going with him right now. That leaves the Raiders on the clock.
Raiders. The team who... This is actually where J.J. McCarthy was being projected to go. Not before Alex decided that he wanted to, you know, embrace the chaos. And
again, my prediction.
Mach 2.0, that's probably worse than the Mach 1.0. Anyway, go on.
Again, my prediction, top four is going to be QB this draft.
Okay.
You can book that. Maybe it's not those four teams, but it's going to be those four players in the top four.
Okay, if you say so.
All right.
We'll be waiting draft day with bated breath.
Hey, now. Maybe we can do something live. We'll see. We'll let the audience know. Okay, now. Sure. Raiders, on the clock, pick 13. They need a whole lot. They need offensive linemen. They need defensive interior line. They need linebackers. They need corners. Now, there's still names that are good on the board at offensive line. We're looking at Fuaga, and we're probably looking at J.C. Latham. There's still Latu and Jared Verse at edge. But the edge, they really invested the whole lot. So I think that's sort of out of the picture here. So I would say Fautanu, Fuaga, J.C. Latham. I think it has to be one of those right now. And I'm probably going with one of the guys between Fuaga. Now, between Fautanu, my bad. Those names are really similar. Jesus Christ. Between Fautanu or J.C. Latham here. What do you think? Do you think they should go somewhere else? You've changed my mind on the Titans. Maybe you can do it in another team. Do you think this is time for interior linemen?
Yeah, probably.
Byron Murphy, then.
Byron Murphy!
Okay. I can be sold into that. I think it sort of makes sense from their standpoint. They can also go QB. But I'm really...
Penix Jr.? You're going to predict Michael Penix
Jr. to go to 11? No, I cannot in good conscience say that.
Oh, you sure? You can put J.J. Yeah. McCarthy at 4, but Michael Penix Jr., that's just a step too far at 11.
Yeah, because I think teams are really in love with J.J. McCarthy. Some teams are. And it just takes one team to draft you. So it doesn't matter what the other 31 think. If you think he's the guy, they can make the move and get him. So I think that's what happens in the top four. Now, I don't really see any team loving Penix that much for him to go inside of the top 20, at least. But yeah, Byron Murphy then, it is. We move. Pick 14, New Orleans Saints. They need a few things. I think they need wide receiver. Because outside of Olave, it's very thin right now. I think they need tackle. I think they need defensive line. And then I think maybe tight end could be in play here.
I'm sorry, what team is this again after the Raiders?
The Saints at pick 14.
Oh, God, they need so much.
They need a lot. Wide receiver, tackle, defensive lineman, and maybe tight end could be.
I don't need a wide receiver. They got Chris Olave. Just throw everything to Chris Olave.
But it's like, it's just Chris Olave, though. They have no one else. And Rashid Shaheed. It's also Rashid Shaheed, so it's kind of thin right now. So, I mean, wide receiver is definitely available. You have Ryan Thomas Jr. Having Derek Carr throwing the ball to Ryan Thomas Jr., your loved one, Derek Carr.
Yep, my loved one.
I
think they just go BPA with all they need. So who's the top guy on your board currently?
Brock Bowers.
I guess Brock Bowers it is.
Okay, Brock Bowers goes to the New Orleans Saints. I like it. Okay, now, the Colts are on the clock. They have... I have it written down here, and PFF also says that wide receiver is a need. But, I mean, they got Josh Downs last season. They have Michael Pittman, which they resigned. So, kind of struggling saying wide receiver is a bigger need right now than defensive back. So, I don't know. I'm sort of torn. It's between Terry and Arnold for me. Or we go wide receiver with Brian Thomas Jr.
Wasn't Brian Thomas Jr. like a projected early 20s wide receiver? You're saying as early as like 13? He can go now?
I've been seeing a lot. And my prediction was that... Five guys, what was it? Five guys would go top 16, if I'm not mistaken. We are only three in, and I think Brian Thomas is one of those guys that is rising slowly and is right around the pick 16 market that right now. So I think it's a top end of the first round type of pick for Brian Thomas. Because he had a really good combine. And there's not really a whole lot of red flags with him. So I think he's the guy who winches closer and closer to that top three group. But it's between him right now or we go cornerback. What do you think it's better?
Probably corner.
Probably corner. Okay. Yeah. I'm not completely against it. So yeah. We will do Terry and Arnold to the Colts. And that puts my Seahawks on the clock. I like it.
All right, I'm muting my mic for this one. This is your Seahawks. You got
okay, then. Right now, I'm looking at probably two or three things that we need here. We can use a guard / center, so someone who has double eligibility. And if we're doing that, then we're probably looking at a guy like Graham Barton from Duke. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, Duke, who is listed as a tackle, but I think he probably is one guy that will switch up better to guard / center role, playing on the inside of the offensive line. Other than that, we are looking at either Jared Verse or a personal favorite of mine, Laiatu Latu. And the other possibility here is probably looking at safety, but that just seems like a bit of a reach to go for a guy like that right now. So I think having in consideration who our head coach is right now and his history with the Ravens, I think we are probably going with an edge rusher. And I think I really want to do this. I want to say that Mike McDonald is going to take the guy that I like and will select Laiatu Latu. So that's my pick. Laiatu Latu over Jared Verse. It's done, Angelo.
Oh, I get to be back?
You get to be back. Laiatu Latu is the pick at edge rusher for the Seahawks.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay. Now, the Bears are back in the clock. They are sitting at pick 17, formerly from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wide receiver, defensive line, or they go for the O-line now. Because many of the guys that we were talking about earlier are still available. In Falton, Fuaga, Jared Verse, J.C. Latham, all of those guys are still available. So they really didn't lose much in doing that trade. And they got plenty of picks now to work with. So what do you say? Are we going Brian Thomas Jr.? Are we going defensive line or O-line?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So call me crazy.
Yes.
But the team that decided that Chase Claypool was going to be Justin Fields' top wide receiver for, I think it was multiple years, is not the team that I see saying we have, the Panthers acquired Deontay. Who did they? Keenan Allen. The team that has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore now being like, you know what we need? We need another wide receiver.
Okay.
I am sorry. I just struggle to see the fact that this team basically had no wide receivers, acquired DJ Moore, recently acquired Keenan Allen, and now is like, you know what? And it has Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet developed while all this chaos was happening. Is now going to be like, you know what? We need more weapons now. I'm sorry. I just struggled to say that's the thing.
I fully agree with you. And that's why I never think that they are going for a guy like Romeo Dunze at 9. I always think they are trading down for more picks because it just doesn't make sense. I mean, they have a lot of wide receivers. I understand that they're older, but still, I mean, this is a deep wide receiver class. You can take care of that later. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be focusing on defense or offense.
Okay.
Offensive line. Defense or offensive line.
Okay.
Because there's not a running back that's going there. And that, I guess, would be the... No, they got... They signed... Not even running back!
Yeah. I think right now we could either look at offensive line because some names are falling that are pretty good. Or we can look at a guy like Johnny Newton. I believe his name is Jerzon, but he goes by Johnny. So thank you, Johnny, for going with that name. So I don't have to say your actual name. So Johnny Newton, the interior defensive lineman, who most are projected to be a late first-round pick, but could be a small reach here because it really is like the tier drop at interior defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Or we go offensive lineman because there's plenty of value here.
I think they go with the interior defensive lineman.
Okay. Jerzon Newton it is. Great. Now your Bengals are on the clock. Pick 18.
Unfortunately, I couldn't convince the Saints not to go Brock Bowers, you know.
You could not. You told me to draft last player available. So here we are now.
I did.
Hey, but you're sitting on the board with like three top tackles. Could be worse.
Call me crazy. I think the Bengals should go offensive line here. But if it's true, I think this really depends on T. Higgins. If it's true that we're not keeping T. Higgins and the insiders of the Bengals know that, then I think we're going Brian Thomas Jr. here.
Okay.
There's no.
I can see it. I can honestly see it. I think it's crazy that we're dropping all of this offensive line talent. It's just how the draft is going.
I agree. I 100% agree. But, like, you can't convince me the team that went a season with Daryl Morey as their top wide receiver isn't going to draft a wide receiver when they already have two. I also find it hard to believe that the team that drafted Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell is also going to go in without wide receiver depth, especially if we're losing T. Higgins.
And it's not just T. Higgins that you lost.
And we lost Boyd. Tyler Boyd.
Boyd is also out, so it makes sense in that regard. So, okay, we're going with Brian Thomas Jr. Oh, but Tyler Boyd hasn't actually signed with anyone yet, which is surprising.
So he might be back, but...
Yeah. Knowing what we know, Brian Thomas Jr. it is. Pick 18. So now the Rams are sitting pretty at pick 19 when a big chunk of their needs is offensive line. So I think it just makes sense that we go with probably Fuaga or J.C. Layton. Because Faltano seems to be a guy who's projecting to go more on the inside. And I think they need tackle more than they actually need interior line. Although Faltano is probably a guy that is dropping way too much. So
yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay, so let's give them the flexibility, because Faltano is being talked about as a guy who can go inside, can also play on the outside, and can play some center. So I mean, if we're doing that, let's just give them the guy who can do everything. Seems like the best pick here. So, Faltano, it is. Pick 20 now. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. So, they have it. Russell
They're
Wilson.
Going the offensive line. They're going the offensive line.
They're going offensive line. I think makes it. They did lose Deontay Johnson. So, we could make an argument here that it could be wide receiver.
I agree, and if they go wide receiver here, that's more like Steelers magic or Steelers, you know, voodoo magic with the wide receiver. But I gotta believe they're going offensive line here, because it's looked so bad for so, like, the Steelers used to pride themselves on their offensive line, and it's just regressed so bad.
Okay, then. Let's go at offensive lineman. And I think we are going with, let's say, Fuaga here. Let's go with Fuaga. He's at the top of my board right now. Latham is the one coming up after. So, Fuaga it is. So, after the tackles stayed on the board for a bit, now we have a mini run of tackles being taken. The Miami Dolphins are now on the clock. Miami Dolphins, interesting pick. In a previous mock draft that I did by myself, I had Xavier Worthy being picked here. I thought it was a crazy pick, that it would be a crazy reach, but it would mix pretty well schematically. But with this much O-line talent, and they need O-line to keep the offensive moving and rhythm, I think it has to be J.C. Layton.
Let's go. I agree.
J.C. Layton it is. The Eagles are now on the clock. And with the Eagles, there's a few things we can look at. We can look at wide receiver. Have an option outside of Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. We can look at defensive back. I mean, their defensive back struggles were pretty noticeable last season. They did add C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But still, at corner, they haven't really done much, and their room is really aging. So I think a defensive back could be in line. Or they maybe could look at linebacker. Linebacker, I think it's a bit of a reach right now. I don't really see any player right now that is looking promising for them. The other thing that we can do is address the offensive line. They lost Kelsey. And there's a guy here that I really like in Graham Barton that played tackle in college. And I think he can switch to the inside. I think that's where your role is going to fit the best to play either center or guard. So I think we are looking at either a Graham Barton or we are going with a defensive back right now.
I think just losing Kelsey, they go with the offensive lineman.
That's okay, just then. Me. Okay, I agree. I like him. I think he was falling a bit. So now we have gone 4 picks in a row, offensive line. And now we're back with the Patriots, who are now making the second pick. This used to be Houston's pick, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, used to be Cleveland's pick. So now they are on the clock. And they drafted, who did they draft with the first pick? We had them go with Dallas Turner. So that's Edge taken out of the equation, probably. So now we can look at either the back of the defense. We can look at cornerback. We can look at the linebackers. We can look at wide receiver, which they also need. Or we can look at, did I say O-line yet? O-line. So those are the three top options right now for them. O-line, defensive backs, or wide receiver. And I think O-line sort of dried out here.
Yeah, I was about to say, probably time for the defensive backs, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, defensive back though, you're looking at probably the third guy the fourth guy of the equation, because we have taken three cornerbacks. So now we're looking at, who do I have as my fourth guy right now? I believe it's Nate Wiggins, which I really liked. The short guy that ran a pretty good 40. Let me double check that on my notes. Why is corner to the last? Yeah, Nate Wiggins is right now the last guy that I have with a first round grade for cornerbacks. So, I mean, it could be that it's just a tier break and they go with it that way. And he's right around where I have them projected to go. So if we're going with DB, I like Nate Wiggins quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
All right, then. We go with Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Okay, the Dallas Cowboys are now sitting on the clock. Pick 24. And they need quite a bit. They need wide receiver. I think they need running back. But I think it's way too early to pick running back. They could use tackle. They could use center. But we sort of dried that out. The only guy here that could make sense was Jackson Powers Johnson, the center for Oregon. But picking a center here, I don't necessarily love it. Or we can go corner. But again, the top guy on my board right now is Kool-Aid McKinstry, and he's no longer in the first round range for me. So I think realistic here, we go wide receiver. Or we go with a guy that has been falling quite a bit in Jared Verse. We go BPA or we go wide receiver?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver. The fall keeps happening for Jared Verse. I think the fall is unlikely because Verse is a pretty solid guy.
Well, then go Verse, baby.
But no, I mean, I like wide receiver as well. It makes sense. It's a bigger need right now. And they are competing, so I think it makes sense. Let's go with the wide receiver. So, at wide receiver, top three guys I have right now, Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, or, and this is not a top three guy for me, it's top three guy that I have left. It's Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, you're going to say
whatever. I don't think he's Worthy.
Wow.
But, I mean, I think teams will draft him in the first because of the speed. But yeah, Adonai Mitchell is the top name on my board. He's from Texas as well. He played college well in Texas. So it would make sense for him to go that way. He is from Texas. He played college ball in Texas. Adonai Mitchell sort of makes sense, no?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Adonai Mitchell will be selected before Worthy. For sure.
Yeah, I also do think that. But I think Worthy
has the better profile, baby!
All right, then. Adonai Mitchell it is. The Packers, sitting at pick 25 now. They moved off of Bakhtiari. So, line is definitely a need. They need interior defensive line, and they need safety. But they are just such a young team and such a well-rounded team. I would honestly go with Verse, but after drafting Lucas Van Ness last draft with a top, I want to say it was a top 20 pick, and having Rashawn Gary on the other side, it's an embarrassment of riches. So it's either we go with Amarius Mims, which is the last tackle that I have a first-round grade on, or we look at probably a defensive back, which is going to be a reach. So I think we're sort of zeroing in on Amarius Mims.
Okay, let's go with it.
Okay, Amarius Mims it is. Last first-round tackle that I had on the board. Now we're going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers probably need someone to play running back alongside Rashad White. But it's probably too early for that. They could use tight end, but it's too early for that as well. Maybe a center in Jackson Powers Johnson. Or maybe this is the time in which they go Jared Verse. They lost Shaquille Barrett. Their edge room isn't really that great. So I think they get a jam here by getting Jared Verse at this point.
I agree with you. I think he has fallen too much.
Yes. He should be a top 20, top 18 pick. And they're getting him at 26. But that's just the way that this thing fell. So now the Cardinals are back on the block on the clock right now, and they are picking at 27 here. Interesting slot for them, because they addressed wide receiver. We gave them Rome Odunze. Now we're sitting here, and cornerback has sort of dried out. Center is available. They could use center, so Jackson Powers Johnson. I honestly think it's Jackson Powers Johnson or a trade out. And there's something that I like to do here from time to time, which is a team that needs a quarterback moves up to the end of the first round, grabs one there so they can use the fifth year option.
Yeah, no, I do think they make a pick so they can use the fifth-year option.
Now, I said I think usually teams like to make this sort of move of moving up to the first round teams that need a QB.
Yeah,
and getting a QB in the late first so they can have the fifth-year option on the QB.
Yeah, no, 100%. So you're saying this is about where you want to be looking at, like someone like Michael Penix Jr.?
Yes, probably.
The question is, who trades up? Who trades up to get him? Probably one of the teams that missed out. Maybe a New York, maybe a Las Vegas. New York.
Yeah, Giants. I'm thinking Las Vegas because I don't see the Giants here with the pick. Their pick is pick 47. The Las Vegas Raiders have pick 44. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just better for the Raiders to make this sort of move. So we can look at the Raiders. Raiders moving up from 44 to pick 27. So it's if we're looking at this, it's a move up of around 200 points, not that much, which is right around a late third round pick. They do have a lot of picks right now. They have pick 27, they have pick 35, pick 71. This is the Cardinals. They have a lot of picks, but I mean, one more really doesn't hurt. Or maybe we just push the pick a year. We do like a third round pick in 2025 and a fourth round pick in 2025 to move up from pick, or maybe we just do the second. Pick 44 and a second next year for pick 27 this year with the Cardinals. So that would leave the Cardinals with two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and two third-round picks for next season. I mean, they would be set up pretty nicely. So, yeah, I like this. I think it's an okay trade offer. The Raiders move up, and they draft... where is he? Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix
Jr. All right, then. Bills are on the clock. Last five picks. Bills are on the clock. They need wide receiver desperately.
Oh my god, so bad.
They need wide receiver real bad.
Do they?
And
is this the Xavier Worthy pick?
It's a very shitty landing spot for Xavier Worthy. I'll tell you that much. I think... Oh man. 6'1", 172. Having to jump in. The thing is, Xavier really isn't... Adane would be so much better here. I think he has the frame and the mold to be a wide receiver one. Xavier Worthy, I think he will just fall flat on his face. But they really need wide receiver. I think their biggest needs are wide receiver and defensive back right now. Maybe we can look at defensive back. But if we're looking at that, it's probably safety. And picking a safety isn't usually great at this point in time. Top safety on my board right now is Jaden Hicks, which I have a second round grade on. Not great. So maybe they just go with the crazy speed. Yeah, fuck it. Xavier Worthy, pick 28. No! Oh, God, such a shitty pick. But I think Xavier Worthy has to go first round pick.
Xavier Worthy, like, what wide receiver is he if he goes to the Bills? Like, obviously, you don't have him above Adunze, Malik Nabbers, or Marvin Harrison Jr. But is he, like, the dude right after that if he goes to the Bills? Is that the hype that's about to happen if that happens?
I think Brian Thomas will probably still be fourth, purely because he will be playing with Burrow, especially if T. Higgins gets moved. I think it makes a whole lot of sense.
It depends when T. Higgins gets moved. Like, yeah.
But still, I think the overall profile of Brian Thomas will still put him ahead of Xavier Worthy, even if owners have to wait a year for him to truly blossom. So it's much like... At this stage, you're looking at a JSN, although not at the same level of JSN, but a similar landing spot, even better probably, because he has a long-term QB set that people really like, versus someone versus... Who was a guy that went to a pretty good landing spot, but wasn't exactly like a darling in terms of overall profile prospect last season. Trying to think, and it's like, could it be Tank Dell? But he wasn't the first round pick.
Marvin Mims. He wasn't the first. Jonathan Mingo. Those are your best examples of last year. Quentin Johnston.
No.
That's a first round wide receiver.
I think it's probably closer to Nathaniel Dell.
Tank Dell?
Yeah. He was a third round pick, but he went to a spot in which the targets were there. There was no really alpha wide receiver there. The QB wasn't as highly touted as Josh Allen. He was a rookie. No, Tank Dell didn't have Terrace Marshall. You're thinking about Mingo. Mingo had Terrace Marshall.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he will still be fourth in the wide receiver chart here. He would be ahead of Adonai Mitchell for sure. Okay, now, last four picks. Lions are on the clock. Lions need guard center, probably. And they need edge, as well as corner. Let's just take the last O-line that I have with the first round grade and Jackson Powers Johnson, the center. They need a center. They get a center. Easy enough.
That's pretty straightforward. These last four should be, unless you're doing trade-ups, should be pretty straightforward, quite honestly.
After all of that, we actually ended up with less trades in the first round than they had in 2023.
We did it!
We did it. Okay, the Ravens on the clock right now, and the board is really shitty right now. I don't necessarily love this. They need wide receiver. You know what? Let's take a wide receiver. They need wide receiver. Other than that, we would be looking at O-line, edge, or cornerback. I don't see any of that that I can even remotely like. So, yeah. Let's go with the lad from Georgia, Ladd McConkey.
Oh, my God. You did not just say Ladd.
Ladd from Georgia. We go with him. He's the best wide receiver available that I have, so. Okay, then. Niners, on the clock. They need probably offensive line the most. Everyone needs offensive line. Offensive line has sort of dried out here. Quite a bit. Right now, the best guy that I have is probably Tyler Guyton. Right now, not great. If you're picking in the first round still. But it is what it is. It's between Tyler Guyton or Kool-Aid McKinstry. So the cornerback from Alabama. They need both. I think they probably need offensive line a bit more. So let's go with Tyler Guyton here.
Okay.
Finally.
Tyler Guyton is.
Last pick of the first round and the mock draft. That we're doing.
Mr. Irrelevant of the mock.
Mr. Irrelevant of the mock draft. Kansas City Chiefs are on the clock. Pick 32. And they select a QB. No, I kid. Wide receiver is sort of dead outside of probably Troy Franklin.
Yeah, I think the wide receivers that are going to go in the first, we've already mocked.
Yeah. Probably even one more than it's going in the first. I think this would also break the record for wide receivers in the first round. If I'm not mistaken. Because this would be the 8th wide receiver drafted. Okay. Other than that, I'm looking and it's not great. the board is really shitty right now. For a first round pick, that is. I guess we'll just go with the best player available. Like, they moved off of a DB. So let's go with Kula McKinstry.
Okay.
From Alabama. I mean,
Alabama. Pretty solid.
Alabama, baby. And that's it for the first round mock draft.
We did it! Mock draft 2.0, worse than the first.
Jesus Christ, dude. It's not going to be worse. So takeaways from this.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Takeaways. All right, let's get some takeaways.
Takeaways from this. Top four QBs in this draft will... top four picks in this draft will be QBs. Wouldn't be shocked if the Chargers have the option for both the top tackle and the top wide receiver, and they go top tackle. I think the board will be pretty active early on. Later, won't be as active. in terms of trades. And I think one of the wide receiver, one of the QBs, one of the QBs in the top five. People usually like to put like Michael Penix very, very high up. Like here I am 27. I wouldn't even be shocked if he's outside of the first round because there's guys that we like last season. It was Will Levis who was talked as a guy that would go in the top 15, top 10. At a time, top one, top two. And he ends up falling out of the first round entirely. I definitely think that's possible for Penix, although I got him in the first round here. And the top defensive player taken was a cornerback. I think it will happen, actually.
That I will draft in the second round of the 32 league.
Yes, exactly. I think either at 9 for a team that moves up with Chicago or at 8, we will see Quinion Mitchell as the first defensive player drafted. Hey, what's your takeaway? That I'm insane. Say it.
Yes, that you just made a curse mock.
We will see how that goes then. You actually can try and find an... maybe we can link the mock draft, just the image of the mock draft, in one of the links in the description. Maybe we can see if that works.
Yeah, if you can get an image for the mock, I can add to the description. Easy peasy, buddy.
Okay, here's the image. Got it. I'll send it to you on GroupMe.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Okay, so if you want to see the mock draft with your own eyes, you can just look at the links in the description. It will be there. And yeah, do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. That was a pretty solid episode, other than the bad mock, but a pretty solid episode, you know?
Jesus Christ. Always think that much. I think it was faster than the first one, actually.
It was much faster. I think the first one was like 3 hours.
Okay. We were three and here, a half, what? I think. 1 hour and a half. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So much better.
2 hours. 2 hours.
Okay.
2.5 hours. We cut an hour.
So. Wait, what?
You're welcome.
We really were here 2.5 hours. No, that's crazy. We didn't start at 6 my time.
It says started at 2:02. It's now 3:34. That's. Oh, no, it's okay, an hour and a half.
Yeah. Oh, an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm tripping. Sorry.
Okay. Angela's tripping. Okay. No. So, guys, as Angela usually said, there's a nice little fancy donate button that you can click to help us out. If you enjoyed the mock draft, and even if you didn't, leave us a 5-star review if you're listening on the Apple podcast, if you're listening on the Spotify app. Also, turn on the auto downloads. And if you're watching on the YouTube, be sure to do all of those things that people usually tell you to do. Notifications, comments, likes, all of that. We enjoy all of that. And yeah, guys, as always, talk to you next.
Peace out, guys. Have a good one.